It feels a bit like spring in the air as I'm bringing you the Clinton Journal for Friday, April the 3rd. This is Pat, and I'm joining you from the front page. Museum to host a book signing on June the 7th. Maureen Holtz, author of Images of America, DeWitt County, is scheduled. The C.H. Moore Homestead DeWitt County Museum will host a special author appearance, presentation, and book signing with Maureen Holtz, author of the upcoming Arcadia Publishing title, Images of America, DeWitt County. The event will take place on Sunday, June the 7th at 1:30 p.m. in the museum's historic Carriage Barn. This will be the first Images of America, DeWitt County author appearance and signing held in DeWitt County, offering an opportunity for local residents, history enthusiasts, book lovers, and museum supporters to meet the author and learn more about the stories. Many of the photographs are from the museum's collection. Event admission is free and open to the public. The book's official publisher release date is April the 28th, and the museum is now accepting pre-orders through the museum gift shop. Copies of the Images of America, DeWitt County may be pre-ordered directly through the C.H. Moore Homestead and DeWitt County Museum gift shop. Purchasing through the museum directly benefits the museum, as proceeds support ongoing preservation efforts, educational programming, and community events. Ordering locally also saves customers shipping and handling fees. Many of the photographs featured in the book come from the museum's own historical photograph collection, making this publication especially meaningful to the community. Why pre-order? Pre-order is strongly encouraged for those planning to attend the June 7 book signing event. Reserving a copy ensures attendees will have a book available for the author to sign. Pre-ordered books may be picked up at the museum once the shipment arrives or held at the door for the purchaser on the day of the event. How to pre-order books? In person at the museum gift shop during regular museum hours. By phone with credit card at 217-935-6066. That's 217-935-6066. Can order by mail by sending a check to C.H. Moore Homestead, DeWitt County Museum, 219 East Woodlawn Street, Clinton, 61727. The book price is $24.99 plus tax, and payment is required at the time the book is ordered. This program is part of the museum's year-long series, America 250, at the Homestead, celebrating 250s of American history. For more information about this or any of the other America 250 events, which will take place each month throughout the year, call 217-935-6066. Also from the front page, Chamber Business Expo 2026. Gordon Woods reporting. The Clinton Chamber of Commerce and Tourism Bureau's annual Business Expo was held on March 26th, and Chamber Executive Director Jan Peterson was excited with the results. "I was happy with the results, and we've started to send our surveys out," Peterson told the Journal. "It's 95% positive stuff." Peterson said as she walked around the event on Thursday, she heard only positive comments. "All I heard were positives," Peterson said. "Everyone was like, this is fabulous, this turnout." In fact, the turnout was strong enough, Peterson said, if they get more participating businesses and agencies next year, they'll need to rearrange the floor layout. Planning for the expo starts at the beginning of the year. Our first event is the annual dinner, held typically at the end of January, Peterson said. "And then, as soon as the annual dinner is over, this expo gets put into high gear." Peterson said most of the chamber's events take about the same length of time to plan. Now, May Days is in full, and we've got 6 weeks until that, she said. And then the chamber golf outing comes next. The Business Expo hosted more than 45 businesses and agencies, including several new participants. It was about 10 or 15 more than last year, Peterson said. A team from the State of Illinois Central Management Services participated for the first time. They called us, she said. We were like, sure, we can get you in, no problem. Peterson said another agency from Springfield area also participated. She left a little early because she was concerned about the weather, Peterson said. In general, Peterson liked how the event went. I was happy with it. I was very happy with it. And our third story from the front page. Dr. Weinberg to be honored at Clinton Arbor Day observance. Dr. Harold Weinberg, former Clinton optometrist and community leader, will be honored at the city's April 25th Arbor Day ceremony. Weinberg died at the age of 99 in 2021 in Florida. A memorial tree will be planted for Weinberg at 10 a.m. in the Carol McFeeters Thompson Arboretum in the 1100 block of East Main Street. A public reception for Weinberg family and friends will begin at 11:15 a.m. in the museum room of the Vespasian Warner Public Library. In case of rain, the ceremony will be held at the Douglas Elementary School gym. The annual Arbor Day ceremony and reception is sponsored by the Clinton Tree Commission. Weinberg and his wife, Erna, moved to Clinton after he completed optometry school in Chicago in 1945. The couple raised two children, Sarah and David. In addition to caring for patients at his private practice, Weinberg served as a community leader and cheerleader for his new hometown. Weinberg's service included the Clinton Community District 15 School Board, the Dr. John Warner Hospital Board, the Vespasian Warner Public Library Board, and the Clinton Sanitary District Board. In 1963, he served as president of the Clinton Chamber of Commerce Board. In addition to Clinton's public boards, Weinberg also volunteered his time as tutor and reading instructor. He was a founding member of the Right Stuff for Kids, Inc., and he and his wife were charter members of the Clinton Community Education Foundation. Among Weinberg's interests was the study of religion. His donation of an extensive collection of books to the Clinton Library makes up the Weinberg Library of Comparative Religion. The Clinton Tree Commission invites everyone who knew Doc to attend the Arbor Day event and share a story about one of Clinton's most dedicated supporters. In other news, the Kenny Fire Department blood drive for Friday, April the 3rd. Kenny will host a community blood drive with Impact Life, the provider of blood components for local hospitals. The drive will be held from 11:15 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. on Friday, April the 3rd at 110 East Sheldon Street inside the firehouse. From the columns page, 57 years in and I'm still figuring it out. From the Mac Desk by Billy McMacken. I turned 57 on April the 3rd, which doesn't seem possible because in my head I'm still about 32 until I try to sprint down the first baseline or get up off the floor after playing with the grandkids. Then reality checks in pretty quick. 57 is a lot of living, a lot of innings, some wins, some losses, and a few games you wish you could play over again. But more than anything, it's perspective. These days, life feels less about chasing what's next and about appreciating what's right in front of you. I've got a pretty good view. Camden is 12 now, somehow. He's right in the middle of it all, balancing baseball, basketball, and football, like it's just a normal life. I get to coach him in baseball, which is one of those things I know I'll look back on someday and realize just how special it was. Right now, it's practices, games, and making sure he remembers where he put his cleats. Kendall is 10 and full speed ahead in her own way. Basketball, dance, and about 100 other things packed into every week. She competes, she works, she still somehow makes time to be a great sister. She's got that mix of toughness and heart that's fun to watch. Thomas is off at the University of South Dakota grinding through law school, which is something I'm incredibly proud of. It's also a little surreal. One minute you're helping him with youth sports, the next he's preparing for a career in law. That one sneaks up on you. And then there's Scout and Teddy. Grand kiddos don't care about schedules or deadlines or how old you are. They just want you to sit on the floor, play, laugh, and be present. They remind you what matters, and they'll absolutely wear you out in the process. Carly's been the constant through all of it. A three-time NCAA All-American golfer, basically a scratch player, and she set that aside without complaint to raise a family. I'm hoping this is the summer she dusts the clubs off and gets back out there a little more. She earned that and then some. If I've learned anything in 57 years, it's this. Time moves fast, faster than you think. You blink and kids grow up. You blink again and you're the one telling stories about back when. And somehow, along the way, you realize you've lost people who meant everything to you. My mom, my dad, my sister, Kathy. That's the part nobody really prepares you for. And it changes how you see things. You start to understand that the time you have with people, the conversations, the dinners, the random moments, that's the stuff that matters, because it's not forever. So you learn to slow down a little, to pay attention, to appreciate what you've got while you've got it. I don't have life figured out, not even close, but I do know this, showing up matters. Being present matters. The people in your life matter more than anything else. The rest of it, it comes and goes. 50 years in, I'm still learning, still adjusting, still trying to get a little better each day. And if I'm lucky, I've got a lot more innings left. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got a game to get to. And yeah, I'm stretching first. Billy McMacken is the owner of the Normal Light Newspaper Group. He can be reached by email at billy@normallightnewspapers.com. And now a column from The Prairie Doc. Anatomical Variations, Breaking Down the Basic Details of Tumors and Cancer, by Ethan Snow, Ph.D., M.A. Cells are the basic building blocks of all living organisms. In a healthy body, cells follow an orderly life cycle. They develop from a systematic process called mitosis, perform important physiological functions to maintain body homeostasis, that is, a stable internal environment, and die via apoptosis when they become dysfunctional, old, or no longer needed. This cycle is tightly regulated by DNA, the body's genetic code that controls when and how each cell functions. With about 30 trillion cells in each human body, some cells naturally develop mutations in their genetic code that disrupt their life cycle. Mutations can be caused by genetic issues, environmental exposures, such as tobacco smoke, radiation, infections, lifestyles, and other etiologies. Cells with mutated genetic codes are usually detected and removed by the body's immune system, or they stop working and die on their own. However, sometimes these altered cells survive and gain a competitive growth advantage, causing them to replicate more rapidly than normal. Over time, this uncontrolled growth can create a mass of cells known as a tumor. Tumors can develop anywhere cells are present, that is, essentially anywhere in the body, and they are classified as benign or malignant. Benign tumors are non-cancerous, and they typically grow slowly and exhibit clear boundaries. Contrary-wise, malignant tumors are invasive to nearby tissues, a hallmark of cancer, and are characteristically more aggressive. A biopsy is often necessary to confirm whether a tumor is benign or malignant. Notably, not all tumors are cancers. That is, a benign tumor is not cancer. And not all cancers produce tumors, such as leukemia is cancer of the blood. A serious feature of malignant cancers is their ability to spread to other locations in the body, this known as metastasis. Metastasis occurs when malignant cells break away from the original tumor, travel through the bloodstream or lymphatic system or other pathway, and seed new tumors in other areas of the body. This makes cancer more difficult to treat and can provoke additional sequelae. Clinical jargon associated with tumors and cancer can be daunting, but breaking down the terminology can be helpful. For example, the root words hem means blood, angio means vessel, and oma means tumor. So a hemangioma is quite literally a blood vessel tumor. Additional terminology can be descriptive. For example, a giant intramuscular lipoma describes a fatty lymph tumor oma that is located with intra a muscle and is at least 5 centimeters in any one dimension. The criteria for giant classification. While loss of control is the foundational concept for tumor and cancer development, routine screening, avoiding carcinogens, and other controllable actions are important for preventing cancer, detecting it in early stages, and performing early interventional treatment. A lump, bump, or lesion might be just that, or it might be something serious. Tumors and cancer are complex, and they command respect and proper attention. It's important to consult a physician about such concerns as they can execute a proper workup and assemble a multidisciplinary healthcare team as warranted. Ethan Snow, PhD, MA, is a clinical anatomist who currently serves as associate professor at South Dakota State University in Brookings, South Dakota. Dr. Snow leads the Snow Lab Research Team, a collaborative and interdisciplinary team of undergraduate students, professional students, faculty, and clinicians who analyze rare and unique clinical cases involving anatomical variations. In the news, Illinoisans are urged to watch out for phony traffic violation scams. From Chicago, Attorney General Kwame Raoul today urged Illinois consumers to be alert for scam text messages claiming they committed a traffic or tollway violation and must pay a fine. Raoul's office is warning that unsolicited text messages are intended to trick consumers into sharing personal and financial information. Illinois residents should be assured that government agencies will not call, text, or email unprompted to ask for payment or personal information, Raoul said. If you receive such a message, even if the phone number appears to be local, do not respond. If you are unsure if the request is legitimate, contact the agency through the information provided on its official website. The Attorney General's office cautions residents against assuming a text is legitimate because it is sent from a familiar phone number, area code, or contains a letter that may look official. Raoul explained scammers use caller ID to spoof phone numbers to make it appear as though the text is from a reliable source in an effort to convince recipients to provide personal information, click links that will install malware on devices, or click on a web link to a spoofed website. If recipients attempt to enter usernames and passwords to access these fake websites, scammers may have the ability to access or steal personal information. Raoul also encouraged consumers to consider the following tips to help protect themselves from scammers. Do not share your personal information. Only share social security numbers, bank routing and account numbers, or other personally identifiable financial information to organizations you know well and that have a legitimate need for the information. Never share the information over text message or in the body of an email. Do not share your phone number on the internet. It allows parties to sell information to those who might want to send text scams, which makes your information susceptible to data leaks. Do not act immediately. Smishing scams attempt to create a false sense of urgency by implying that an immediate response is required or that there is a limited time to respond. That smishing is spelled S-M-I-S-H-I-N-G. Take time to verify the sender's identity and ask yourself why the sender is asking for your information. Never open a link or an attachment from an unsolicited, suspicious, or unexpected text or email messages. Scammers can use a variety of tactics to hack email and social media accounts once a link is clicked or an attachment is opened. Do not click on or submit payment through QR codes included in unsolicited messages because it can download malware onto the device. Do not respond to suspicious text messages, even to say stop. Replying to a smishing message verifies a phone number is active and willing to open such messages, which may lead to more unsolicited text messages. Monitor credit transactions. Consumers who may have replied in the past to smishing texts or clicked links within texts or emails are encouraged to sign up for free bank or credit card transaction alerts. If unrecognized activity occurs, consumers can place a fraud alert with a credit report agency or place a freeze on their credit report. Monitor iPass and tollway accounts. Illinois drivers can check to find out if they have unpaid tolls via www.illinoistollway.com or by calling 1-800-824-7277. Attorney General Raoul encourages consumers who think they have been the victim of identity theft or other fraud to file a complaint with the Attorney General's website or with the FBI Internet Crime Complaint Center. People can review the identity theft resources on Raoul's website and call Raoul's toll-free identity theft hotline. Consumers can also call one of the Attorney General's consumer fraud hotlines. The Springfield number is 1-800-243-0618. Again, 1-800-243-0618 for the Attorney General's consumer fraud hotline. And in sports, Evans Field redesign highlights Maroons win over the Vikings 4-2. Mark Rogers reporting. During the round robin tournament on Saturday, March the 21st, the Clinton Maroons baseball team was rededicated. The baseball field was rededicated after its rebuilding with new dugouts and AstroTurf reconstructions. These upgrades give the Maroons the ability to play more games with fewer rainouts. The field is named after Harold Walker Evans, Jr., of the class of 1972. He passed away during his senior year. Present for the rededications was the Walker Evans family, including his brother Tim Evans, Members of the class of 1972, along with members of the class of 1975 who donated the sign. Also present was Jason Reynolds, who designed the new sign for the field. Just prior to the rededication, the game was played between Cornerstone Christian Cyclones of Bloomington and the Tri-Valley Vikings, with Tri-Valley winning 10-4. Next up was the final game of the day between Hometown Maroons and the Tri-Valley Vikings. The Vikings led off the first inning with a double by Chase Hayworth and a single by Eli Roberts, and a couple of balks by Maroon pitcher Brock Wilson. The Maroons were three up and three down in the bottom of the first. Wilson settled in beginning in the second inning and allowed no more hits or runs through the fifth inning before being relieved. The Maroons, however, pushed across two runs in the bottom of the second inning on a single by Cole Frentress and a home run by Mitchell Cornwell to tie the game. The Maroons had a couple of hits in the third and fourth innings, but finally exploded for two more runs in the fifth inning on doubles by Josh Bass and Wilson, along with singles by Ryan Pine and Fentress. That would be all that was needed to secure a 4-2 win for the Maroons, as the pitching held for the remainder of the game. Wilson was pitching for the first time in 8 months after having shoulder surgery, and he gets the win. Lady Maroons fall to Lady Trojans, 17-2. Mark Rogers reporting. On March the 27th, the Lady Maroons returned to their home field with a 4-1 record to defend. The home team was pitted against Route 51 rival, the Lady Trojans of Maroa Forsyth. The Lady Trojans struck early and decisively with a massive 7 runs on the top of the first inning, initiated by leadoff batter Adlin Simmons' home run, followed by 4 singles, 2 doubles, and a walk. The Lady Maroons were stunned and went down in order 1-2-3 in the bottom of the inning. In the top of the second inning, after having had 11 players bat in the first, had 9 players bat in the top of the second inning, scoring 6 more runs for the 13-0 lead. The Lady Maroons were again hitless in the second inning. The Lady Trojans were finally held to a walk and a single in the third to stop the onslaught for the moment, with the home team still trying to gain some composure with no runs. In the top of the fourth inning, the Lady Trojans struck again, adding insult to injury with 4 more runs on a walk, 2 Lady Maroons errors, and a double and a single. In the bottom of the fourth inning, the home team found some footing and scored 2 runs on 2 singles, 2 doubles, and a walk, but that was not enough to keep the game going, as a 15-run rule was invoked, and the Lady Trojans took the 17-2 win. Olivia Haynes got the start for Lady Maroons and was relieved by Campbell Bass. The Lady Maroons' only hit were singles from Kenzie Sickles and a double by catcher Hadley Humble. After this experience, the Lady Maroons are 4-2 on the season. Adlin Simmons had 2 home runs for the visitors. For the second day in a row, the Lady Maroons were at home on another chilly game day, Saturday, March the 28th. The rival on this day was the Lady Chiefs of Deer Creek Mackinac. The game began the same as the day before, with the opposition swinging away and running at every chance. This led to a 3-run lead in the top of the first inning on 3 hits, a walk, and 2 batters hit by pitcher. And another cold start for the Lady Maroons. In the bottom of the first, the home team earned a walk, but nothing else. The third inning went as the first, with the Lady Chiefs earning 5 runs on 6 hits, including 3 home runs and 3 doubles. Again, the home team was scoreless in this inning. The third inning slowed the opposition, either tired out or decided enough was enough, and scored only 3 runs on 3 hits to make the score 10-0 in favor of the Lady Chiefs. The Lady Maroons eked out a single in the fourth inning, but no score resulted, ending the game with the 10-run rule. I'll leave you there for today, and have a good week. I'll return next week.